Blog Talk Radio.
Check it out. I got it fixed. Wow, that's awesome. Well, welcome to all of our friends around the world on Blog Talk Radio. We are glad to have you here with us tonight. This is going to be a great night, great study. And if you weren't able to be a part of our morning prayer time this morning, I encourage you to go be a part of it. Please go be a part of it. Because on there, we've been talking on the Giving 15 program about dreams. And my goodness sakes, we got going today. Saturday night, we talked about how to help your family get saved. The time is urgent. We're at the end, but we've got to occupy and go all the way to the end. And so our subject tonight is the subject, Occupy Until He Comes. And, of course, that means stay at it. Know what you're doing and do it and occupy until He comes. Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you joining with us tonight right here on the Community of Faith channel network. Of channels, channel of networks, however you want to say it. It's amazing what God's doing. 53 nations stream with us every single day. 53 nations. How in the world did you do that, Pastor? By grace are you saved through faith. The Apostle Paul said, I've worked harder than all the apostles. But he said, the grace of God worked harder than me. Because you can't do what we do just by guess and by golly and by advertisement and by some big campaign. That ain't doing it. You got to do what He tells you to do and let Him take you where He wants to take you. Because He's going to get that done. And for all of our brothers and sisters around the world, wherever you may be today, we just say the biggest, most wonderful, hearty, warm, and welcoming welcome to establishing your faith right here with the Community of Faith. And we got the greatest textbook of faith there is. That's the Bible. And our example is Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. And our teacher is the Holy Spirit, who's going to teach us all things. He's going to bring all things to our remembrance, which Jesus taught us. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to be our guide from the inside out. And I'm telling you, what we're doing is making an amazing difference to all of our family and friends and partners around the world. We want to welcome our new members over on YouTube. God bless you. Welcome you. We thank you for being there with us. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, because you want to have this channel in your computer, on your phone, as a subscription, so that when the rapture happens and you go, if one of your families miss it and they say, I know they were born again, they're not here, and they get your computer or your phone and begin to look at it, then they'll be able to find some links, see some things you got there, and be able to turn their life over to Jesus and make it through that tribulation period. It's going to be hell on earth, literally. But God's promised that His Spirit is still going to be here. And He sends 144,000 Jewish missionaries to evangelize the world right under the Antichrist never even gets any power. And we teach you right here on this program that the Mark of the Beast doesn't even come out till the midpoint of the tribulation. After that next group of believers is raptured off at the midpoint, then it's when the mark of the beast comes out, and everybody that was born again, walked with God up to that part, suffered whatever they had to, or persecution and tribulation, they'll make it to that center point, and they'll be all right. They'll be all right. And then if you don't, that next 3.5 years, woo, that's going to be bad, really bad. And yet, the Bible says there'll be people that live all the way through it to the end. And they're going to be here on the earth, and they're not going to get involved in the Antichrist, and they're going to be here watching you and I reign with Jesus in the tribulation. Wow. I didn't plan to start out with eschatology, but it'd be all right. We certainly did. We certainly did. And we're glad that you have you here with us tonight. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Now, I'm going to give us a couple of verses on Occupy Till It Come. And then one of my favorite ministers in all of the world is Dr. Bill Winston. And Dr. Winston teaches a couple messages on Occupy Till I Come. And I'm going to play that message for us tonight. And you and I are going to grow and develop on this. I like it like this. I've preached on Occupy Till I Come for a long time, ever since we got this program started. And, it's good to hear the same message from somebody else's words. I don't have any lack of confidence in preaching the message. You can go into YouTube and search Samuel J. Cottle, Occupy Till I Come, and YouTube will bring that message up to you from however many times that was our message since we began. You'll hear my message. It'll be a powerful one. The verse list will transform your life if you open it up and follow it. So I'm not in any way in a lack of confidence to preach it. But as soon as I said it to Sunday this morning, that would probably be our subject, then I'm like, it just came to me immediately, Dr. Bill Winston. He's one of them that, most every great man of God we know has preached this message. Not all of them have preached it and then got it in form that, excuse me, that you and I can get to. I mean, Dr. Barclay's preached it, but I can't seem to find that message of his. And I'll play that one for you too. Why? Because it opens up our understanding. You guys hear my voice all the time, and it's easy when you do to get a familiarity with it. But we don't want you to have a familiarity with it. And we want you to be able to just receive, but that's just humanity, and you got to deal with that in your own heart. But man, as soon as you hear somebody else teach it after I've been teaching it, that thing stands out because it's a different voice. And that's why God gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Five different voices that will say the same message to you. Different words, use a few different verses. Same Holy Spirit teaching us, and it just makes solid, amazing, amazing impact in our life. Brother Roger, welcome. Brother Roger's got YouTube held down over there. Hold down the fort, brother. It's good to see you there. Lead everybody into Jesus. Put the verses in for us. Shout hallelujah, glory be to God, and we're going to have a good night tonight. Let's go now to our opening prayer and confession. Let me get this where it's supposed to be. All right. Come on. Everybody get in your rightful place. I command the technology to work. All right. If you'll rise together with me, let's make our pledge of allegiance like we do. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid the last full measure of devotion, those who, because of combat, military service, bear the scars of it in their spirit, soul, and body. On this night, I call you delivered in the mighty name of Jesus by the presence of Almighty God. Now, virtue went out to somebody right now tonight. Just receive it. Wow. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, let's pray a prayer supporting everyone who's somewhere around this nation right now tonight are standing against the wickedness and standing against the perversion in government and running a political campaign. Father, we the people of God stand together in agreement. We join our arms. We join our hearts. We join our forces together tonight to declare righteousness exalts this nation. All across this nation, political rallies have just finished or are just getting finished. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'll close with a prayer that says, righteousness exalts this nation. Help them say it in every way imaginable so that this nation turns back to you. And in this coming election, we turn this nation red by the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. We connect our arms and our faith tonight together with every prayer warrior, prayer ministry in this nation that's holding the line. And we lift all of our hands together, millions of us, and we declare, God bless the United States of America that you established at the beginning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Fund their pocketbooks. Silence the mouth of their critics who lie against them. Turn the table on our enemy who have laid a trap for our children, who have laid a trap for the righteous, who have laid a trap for the holy. Turn the tables tonight, Lord, and overturn this wickedness. Forgive us of our sin and heal our land. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And now, our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Pause. Those of you that are listening to us, make sure you say this out loud. Don't just listen to me say it. Every one of us that say it boldly matters. Those of you that are on Zoom, don't turn your mics on because that messes up the slides. But say it out loud and say it boldly. Here we go. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance, through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. We fulfill the Great Commission today. Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen and amen. Now look at this, guys. This is the nations where God has taken our voice. We love you, brothers and sisters, in these nations. Right now, the manifest presence of God is on this place. He's here. And that presence of God is reaching out to every one of these believers in these nations in love, in compassion, in faith. Speak this with me. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless these, our partners, and each believer in these nations. United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world. God bless every one of you in the mighty name of Jesus. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. As Jesus instructs us, we agree together for the victory. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There is one body and one spirit, just as we are called with one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Don't you just love God and his word? Just think about it. God wants to use you, and he's going to use the gift he put inside of you in this day that we live right here. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As we the people say it boldly, united we stand. We got to have our mouths working. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now the patriot prayer of dedication. Father, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Our declaration against the isms. I need every one of your voices speaking it, proclaiming it boldly. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my prophets, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144, 14, in the Passion Translation. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. I want you to think about that last line. The reason they can't destroy our righteousness is because that's something that's inside of us. They can't destroy it. They can't destroy it. Uncle Sam and Lady Liberty are not dirty. They're not dirty. They still stand for the same thing they've always stood for, liberty and justice for all. They can't change our righteousness because we can be righteous on the inside and there's nothing they can do about it. They know law they pass. They know thing they do. There ain't no word they say. Righteousness is on the inside because of Jesus, and therefore their wickedness cannot overcome our righteousness. Whoa. Didn't like that. Let me try again. That's interesting. This says, we declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. You can't, they cannot make us fall. Now, you might say, Pastor, they're doing a pretty good job of it. No, they're not. They're just loud. They're just loud. They're not doing a good job. They're falling to pieces. They don't have a force. They're wicked. They're very wicked in Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's get caught up. Brother Roger, Sister Sunday, over here on YouTube together. All y'all go by and help them, you know. And to all of you that are streaming with us on YouTube on a nightly basis, we're ending up at the end of the program with about 15 people. We want to welcome you and say, come on in, introduce yourself. Tell us where you're streaming from. Just say the state or the nation. And that would encourage our believers and gives us the determination to pray and stand together as a body, you know, for you. Now, I just, while we were praying that prayer, the nation Canada came to me that they are one of our nations, and they're one of our strong nations for our listeners. 7% of our listeners are from the nation of Canada. And so I want to say this to those of you, the believers over there in Canada. I live 50 miles from the Canadian border in northwestern North Dakota. I live in Williston. And I'd like to get together with you. If you're on my end of Canada, let me know. Let's get together. My wife and I will come up. We'll break bread together, shout hallelujah, and build a friendship. Got to be a restaurant up there somewhere, Saskatoon or something, where we could meet. And it's only about 3-4 hours away, and that's a very simple drive. Now, that's if they let me get across the border. Otherwise, I'll have to do like Brother Andrew did, cross in a VW full of Bibles or something. Anyways, I just want to put that out there to you. If they have great coffee, all right, if that's something that you would like to do, or just please make it something you'd like to do, it'd be a blessing to us. And I'll say it again to all of you that are listeners, please send me a picture of you studying with us. Send it in my email and or text or instant message, whatever. And we're building a board up here. We're going to have everybody's pictures on it. And I can go on your Facebook page and find a picture you might not want me to have. No, I just encourage you to do it because it's a way we can go by and lay hands on it and say, God bless these, our brothers and sisters who join with us every single day in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis, welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. If you want to share that request with us, you can. But if you don't, I understand. And I just want you to know that we're very much praying for you.
Oh, well, yes. My great grand nephew is a hero to me because this drunk guy with the gun went berserk and was going to kill a bunch of people. And so he knocked him down and everything and took the gun away from me. But meanwhile, he got shot twice, and his scapula was totally, like, shattered and everything. So he's still in the hospital and is still having trouble getting all of the bullet fragments out of his body.
All right.
And there ain't nothing you can do about a scapula that's been shattered like that, but trying to put it together and hope it'll grow back. You know, bones do that kind of thing.
Well, and we know the God who does miraculous puts new bones in.
Yes, yes. And I kind of like that to happen, you know. But, I mean, just as long as I'm just thankful God kept him alive. Nobody got killed. And the guy's going to have a long time in jail. Just think about how it wasn't very nice to pull a gun on anybody just because he was drunk and angry.
Yeah. How old is your nephew?
Oh, goodness. Oh, he's thinking back. He must be at least 40.
Oh, so this isn't a young guy.
No, he's got children and everything.
Well?
Yeah, they were having a wedding at this restaurant, and part of the restaurant was a bar. And so this big black guy that was in a bad mood got drunk, and they kicked him out of the bar, and so he walked back in and everybody was in danger. But anyway, he's still in the hospital, and my niece is there. She's a school teacher, and she's with her baby. Even though he's 40, he's still her baby.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they were triplets, so he's got two brothers, same age, same attitudes, everything. And they'll always be babies to me because I remember.
Yeah.
You don't forget three babies like that.
And no, you don't.
They're precious, and he's our hero.
All right. Well, let's pray for him now, Sunday. You want to pray for him?
Yes, sir. That's why I'm here. Our precious Holy Father, we reach out to you, Heavenly Father, that only you and you alone can heal this young man. Father, he is your child. And I ask, Father, that you put your holy anointing on this young man, that you fill us with your precious spirit, Lord, that he is, if he isn't saved, he will be saved, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for the divine healing of this young man and those who are involved. Lord, only you and you alone can do this. We ask, Father, that you just reach out and touch Phyllis, Lord, strengthen her. Lord, she's been on my heart real heavy, and I just know what I know, Lord, that you're upholding her. You're strengthening her.
Amen.
Spiritually, physically, and amen. I give you the glory and praise. Father, Holy Father, we ask you to touch each and every one of us. Dan, who's on the road, Lord, we ask for your guidance and protection. Send your holy angels down to protect him. Father, we don't know what kind of weather he's getting into, but we know, Father, you're with him, and he loves you. Father, we ask for Mary tonight. Lord God, we reach out and touch that woman tonight and strengthen her spiritually, physically, Lord. Let her do a lot of hallelujahs, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty
name.
We pray for Roger tonight, Lord. Strengthen him. Father, whatever's going on in his life, just let him know you're there with him. And
amen.
Pastor Sam and Sister Leanne and all the Sweat family. Those I forgot to pray for, but I remember Rebecca and Christine, Lord.
Yes.
They have been heavy on my heart. And Lord, I know you're working a great relationship for those two.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' name. I know you're doing it. And it is done in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
We give you the glory and praise,
holy
Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I put my amen on set, amen, and say, so be it. I declare for Matt and Kathy Angaroni and Joey and Bella, life and life more abundantly. Wow, there's an anointing flowing toward you right now, Kathy. Receive it. It's flowing right out of me. I can feel it. Flowing right through me, I should say. I declare in the name of Jesus that... that Joey is free. Kathy, you're free never to have any of that bondage of the grief and the sorrow again in Jesus' mighty name. And you see it and you know it and you're just set free from that thing by the name and the anointing of Jesus Christ. For brother, I got it, Felicia and brother, sister Felicia and all the boys and Junior and your husband out there on the road every day. God bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Bless them, Jesus. Bless all the brothers and sisters. Julian and Bamala, bless them, Lord. We haven't seen them or heard much from them lately. Or we've seen a lot of them, but we haven't had open communication, but bless their lives, their families, bless everything about them. Sister Mary Pandes in Singapore, and Brother Tanvir and all the work he does there in Pakistan, bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him, blessing. Blessing on the body of Christ and this community of faith tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, here we go. I've taught you the verse many times. Hold on, just give me a second. I got to write a note down. Got to write a note. Our topic tonight is occupy till he comes. faith against giants by Jesus' righteousness. And I've preached this message several times, and then the inside parts of it many times. And so we were talking about it this morning, and I was talking to Sister Sunday this morning about this at the close of the program. Sister Leanne and I was talking to her, and I'm like, you know, as soon as I said the word occupy, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Dr. Bill Winston. Well, he's got an amazing series on Occupy Till He Comes. And in the reality of it, that series is, I think, like 47 messages long. Taught it for almost a whole year. Maybe it was a whole year. And so I'm going to read the parable that this story, this verse is in, and then we're going to go to Dr. Winston, and he's going to preach it. So, if you will turn with me to Luke chapter 19, his jet just landed a little bit ago. The car will be here in a minute, and he'll be right here to preach to you. Anyways, team, and we're going to read verses 1 through 27. Luke 19, 1 through 27. Now, this is the story of Zacchaeus and then the parable of the minas. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. That's what you and I have to eternally do, seek to see who Jesus was, who he is in our life. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said to him, he knew him by name, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. God gave him a word of knowledge and spoke his name. God our Father, by the Holy Spirit, gave Jesus a word of knowledge, and he called him by name. So he made haste and came down. Now, I don't know if that meant he fell out of the tree or if he was just expert at climbing. But when you come with haste out of the tree, you might fall down. And received him joyfully. 7. When they saw it, that's the Pharisees and scribes, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner, whose tax collectors were dishonest. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this heart, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Now the parable of the minas. Now pay close attention to this. Verse 11, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. That's Jesus going up and the ascension, and then he's going to be there, and then he's going to come back. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, said to them, do business by trading till I come. Now, trading isn't there in the King James and the New King James, and I'm not sure which one of the translations it was in, but it actually means by trading. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. There it is. 16. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. If you're faithful in very little, and you prove it to be faithful, you're going to have authority over 10 cities. That's an interesting statement. The second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. That's a false accusation against our Jesus, because he does not do that. He's the one that set up seed time and harvest. He's not a thief. 22. He said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? The fear of what you believed about me should have caused you to do it. Verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to him who has 10 minas. They said to him, but Master, he already has 10 minas. And then he said, I say to you that everyone who has will be given. And from him who does not have, what he has will be taken away from him. Bring here this enemy of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. And that's the judgment of the end of the world. They'll be cast into eternal damnation. Now, God said, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, said, I'm going into a far country. I'm going to give you the minas. I want you to do something with them by trading and make it produce a profit in Jesus' mighty name. And then we can see the day of judgment when they give an account of what they did. And if you've taken your mina and you've increased it by trading, on into the joyful life of having 10 cities, 5 cities, who knows, underneath your authority and your direction. Isn't God good? He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now, we're going to go now that we've read those verses of Scripture, and Dr. Winston just got here in the house, and he's all tuned up and ready to go. And so I just got to make a couple more things happen here. Oh, my, look at there. Worked out just like it was supposed to. And I'm going to, this is a message from Dr. Winston. Occupy till I come. And he's going to be focused on taking out the giants. Here we go. Enjoy this tonight. It's going to be great. Please take notes. Please take notes so when we get done, we can talk about this. I want you to take notes, put your thoughts down, and then we'll talk about it. Let's go Let's go. Let's stop.
You came from his word. Release it. Once you release it, you get your faith on what you just said. Say, I release it, and I believe he heard it, because he said it. And if he didn't mean it, he shouldn't have put it in this book. So I'm about to act on what I just prayed.
It's called Possessing Your Inheritance. And the subtitle is Occupy Till I Come. Let's go now to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, in the King James. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I'll look at it in the Amplified. If by because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in the right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. And he said, therefore, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Underline that. That's what it'll be called today. Occupy until I come. He said a simple way of translating occupy till I come is advance and hold. Advance and hold. All right. Let's deal first with the topic we left off with last time, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. They which receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign. Shall reign. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to reign. Not being rained on.
Amen.
But to be reigning. And what we said is some people are trying to employ faith, but they have no sense of righteousness. And because of it, faith won't rise. Faith won't increase. Faith, you've been born again, and you're born again, you get a degree of faith. God gives you a certain measure of faith. Now, your job is to make that faith grow. But I put something down here about your inheritance. Your inheritance, your rich inheritance, comes in proportion to your new identity. Your rich inheritance comes in proportion to your new identity, meaning that how do you see yourself? That's how much land you're going to take. So the possession of what's going to happen is not going to be possessing the land outside. It's going to be possessing your mind inside. And as much of that as you can possess is as much land as you have the capacity to hold. And some people are trying to do it. Oh, you look good in front of people, you know. But wait till the test comes.
Yeah.
What we said is that righteousness, consciousness, makes you a master over Satan and everything that he can do. Anybody who understands righteousness and knows what it means becomes Satan's master. And so what we said, we got to wake this righteousness up. Because the righteousness is inside of everybody. You are the righteousness of God. So we said it's not the goody-goody way you act. That's conduct. We call that holiness. But righteousness is in right standing with God, meaning that we have a right relationship with God in terms of our nature and our life. And so we are the righteousness of God. Say, I am.
I am.
The righteousness
of God.
Of God. in Christ.
In Christ.
Now, this is that thought that you should have. The Bible says over in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. He said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God, according as God has given to every man the measure of faith." But notice what he said, don't think more highly. Think highly, but don't think more highly. So you should walk around with superiority consciousness, that Satan can't curse you, he can't stop you. Come on, he can't touch you with evil. And the scriptures say that. And so what I just ask people to do is get into scripture and find out what the scripture says. All right? Because what happens sometimes is people are influenced by their own experiences or influenced by their own flesh. Now let's look at something, because I used the illustration last time. I showed I was having you to imagine a bottle, a glass of water, and then a flashlight. So I've got this flashlight. Now I'm going to shine this flashlight through that water and have it, the light to come out on the other side. And you can do that. What will happen if I take the water and put mud in it, stir it up, and now I try to shine the light through? What will going to happen? I got some problems because too much junk in the water. And I'm saying when it's more junk in our lives, then the righteousness can't shine through. In other words, that righteousness brings us in contact with a lot of things. It causes us to be able to get revelation quickly. It causes us to have spiritual initiative. Spiritual initiative is just new ideas. It's being able to receive creativity from God. It's be able to think of things, have the wisdom of God to flow through you. Come up with, hey, I think we should do this. These are good ideas. So that spiritual initiative. In other words, it really cuts down on what provision or, in my case, I mentioned before, what portion that you will receive from God regarding your inheritance. Your inheritance, according to God, is wealth. Your inheritance is health. Am I right about that? Your inheritance is victory. It didn't say you win a few, lose a few. Did it say that? No. He says he always causes me to triumph. You win every battle. Say, I win every battle. So as we look at this, we are talking about this flesh because the flesh wants to participate. And in Galatians chapter 1, he says here in verse 15, "But when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by his grace," this is the Apostle Paul when he got called, "to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles," or heathen, "immediately I conferred not with" what? "Flesh and blood." All right. But what is Paul saying there? He said, when God gave me a revelation, I didn't ask my flesh what it thought about it. Why? Because the flesh is going to give you another answer. Guaranteed. God reveals to you what to give, ask your flesh. That's why a lot of people of God are still where they are. The Bible says a true witness delivers souls. A true witness delivers souls. I'm asking you to understand that if you're still where you are, then something's wrong. Because this righteousness is designed to move you into right standing, to get you into a place where you should be according to the word of God. Your portion is wealth. Your portion is health. Are you with me here? Now, I know I'm not trying to come down on anybody, but I want to just cover some things and make sure that we understand this. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, that all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So the devil's job is to get you to think unrighteous, meaning that he wants you to think about everything you did in your past. He wants you to keep bringing it up, keep rehearsing it, keep it in your spirit, He wants a person to also think of themselves low, you know, I'm humble for God. Now, the devil, meantime, is whipping them all over town. He wants us to gravitate towards unrighteous songs. Unrighteous songs. Now, what are those unrighteous sermons? Let me let you hear an unrighteous sermon. Are you ready?
Yes.
Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. This is an unrighteous sermon. We be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report in the land, which they sent out. Next verse, please. It's a land that eateth up its inhabitants, therefore, and all the people of the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. Now, he's still preaching now. And there we saw the giants. He's still preaching now. The son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Let this thing one chorus of please don't pass us. Praise God. Now, I'm letting you know this because that's where we came from. See? But none of that's true. It's all unrighteousness, and it's what kept us in Egypt. Watch this. Without a desire to get out. That's the tragic thing. Satan had stolen the desire. And so now here, my wife and I, here we come to Chicago. We're starting a church. Now, what do? She played the guitar. We both sang. I took up the offering. She did the accounting for the church. But our song, this is the day that the Lord, arise, arise, arise forevermore, for Jesus is alive. Now, some of the people that came to our service there at Lake and Pulaski were kind of confused because they couldn't hip swing. But we grew like wildfire because it was the righteousness of God. Now, I'm saying that because a lot of songs that have been written with the influence of the flesh. And the more flesh you get in, the more of God's promises you don't get. I'll say that again. The more flesh you allow in, the less of God's promises you will get. That's it. Righteousness, the nature of God. The nature of God is not that. And unfortunately, most of us had come from that environment where that's what we did. We sing songs. I want to cry some. We're not here to do that. We're not here to excite your flesh one iota. Because for you to get them giants, your flesh is going to have to be out of it. Or you're going to find yourself a statistic. Go hard, okay. So if I run an electric line down here, or I see a light up there. Now suppose all of a sudden in one of those lights, I start seeing sparks. What more than likely is happening at that light juncture? We call it a shortage. It's shorting out power.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, the light's going to start flickering.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you keep going, it's going to go out.
Yep. Right.
So it's amazing when I don't see anything or I don't hear anything, it's flowing like it's supposed to.
Amen.
Boy, that didn't. See,
people have identified noise with power. That's a human fallen man consciousness. No. The power came with the storm. And Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. Immediately, no storm.
Amen. Amen.
Because words have more power than anything you can hear.
Amen.
You got to help me with this. Here's something else. Not only do certain songs give and keep people with a sense of unrighteousness, they also release a spirit of poverty. Poverty is a begging spirit. It's designed to do it. My point is I'm taking you into Canaan. Your flesh has done all the leading it's going to do. You step in here with these giants and try to detect it with the flesh, you have just been had. The only way you're going to get it is through the Holy Ghost. Because nobody can in the natural catch Satan's deception. Nobody. This right group I'm talking to. So if I'm going in here and I'm going to take these giants, I got to understand, wait a minute, I can't be moved by what I see. I'm going to have to be moved by what I say. I'm telling you, when somebody starts pulling you off that flesh, that faith, that flesh begins to fight. Why? Because it wants control. And Satan wants to keep it with control because he controls it. You can sit up here and get mad at me if you want to. Put the verse up there. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. He said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. See, he knew that because Satan knew how he controls humanity. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, please. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Let me give you a translation. Put it in your Bible. The whole world is under control of the evil one. Let's back it up with another scripture. Look over at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And we're talking about occupy till I come. And that's why you see the church on Sunday is the most segregated day in Chicago because of the flesh. I'm going to help you get over this, because if you can't get over your flesh, you can't get over those giants. He's going to keep your stuff, even though God has promised you a hotel. He's promised you a big hotel. He's promised you this or promised you this. Doesn't make any difference what he's promised you. You're going to have to get it by faith. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. He's given you every name that you could possibly call him. Only thing I don't see up there is Slewfoot. But which deceiveth how much of the world? Because they're all walking by the flesh and not by faith. Jesus walked by faith. Put it up there. John chapter 8, please. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not let me alone, for I always do things that what? Please him. Is that the case? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is as what? Impossible to please God. Look what Enoch, Genesis chapter 5. Look what happened to Enoch.
Enoch, as you know, was just out walking one day and weren't. You don't know what I mean by weren't? It means he just left. God took him. Look what it says. And Enoch walked with God. You can't walk with God without walking by faith.
That's right.
Amen.
You can't walk by what you see if you're walking by faith.
That's right.
Say amen. Amen. You're going into a land of deception.
Yes.
You just look at that man and he's 666, six pack, six figures and 6 feet, and you think, ooh. Let me try that again. Ooh. And he's the worst thing for you that you could ever get your hands on. You marry him and he'll ring you out. Can't do it. It's got to be by the Spirit. All right. Now, so, righteousness. And feed me to understand that I am the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness makes it so that I don't need to feel anything, because it gives me a sense of right standing.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have the petition that we desire of him. Now, how do we know we have it? When we make a petition, how do we know we have it? Because of what? Because he heard us. And how do we know he heard us? We prayed his word. Don't be trying to feel anything, because you can't feel his word. The only thing you can do is say his word. Release it. Once you release it, you get your faith on what you just said. Say, I release it, and I believe he heard it, because he said it. And if he didn't mean it, he shouldn't have put it in his book. So I'm about to act on what I just prayed. Well, I trust that you were blessed by today's message. Now, this message called Possessing Your Inheritance, I think is one of the most important messages to the body of Christ. Why? Because this teaching tells you how to occupy till Jesus comes. Praise God. And occupy, take it from Luke chapter 19, verse 13, it means to advance and hold. To advance and hold. See, it's just like a military operation. Praise God. We're the soldiers of the army of the Lord. So now here's a point I want to remember. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God comes only in proportion to your new identity. Now I'll say that again. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God comes only in proportion to your new identity. In other words, how do you see yourself? You can't see yourself as a grasshopper and go in and possess land that giants are on. You follow what I'm saying? See, as long as they saw themselves as grasshoppers, they stayed in the wilderness. Now, what is the wilderness? Owing all kinds of money, can't pay your debts, sick all the time, so forth and so on. I'm not saying I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying there's a better life we can live. And a lot of that comes with how you see yourself. You are a giant slayer. Praise God. You overcome everything that might be thrown at you from the world. You overcome it. Praise God. Now, here's a couple of products that might help you in building your faith so that you can really be that overcomer that God's called you to be. Now, here's one. It's called Possessing Your Inheritance or Occupy Till I Come, talking about how to get that inheritance going in your life, how to get yourself out of debt, how to get this sickness out of your family line. Praise God. Cut this curse off. That's what we want to do. Another product I have here is Imitate God and Get Results. Now, what this is doing is giving you a real good understanding of who you are in Christ. Remember, your inheritance comes only in proportion to your new identity. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. Well, that's all we have for this week. We'll see y'all next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Today's Zero. Occupy till I come.
My. So, hallelujah. Anybody enjoy that?
I did.
I did.
Very good.
Now, I have part two if you guys are up for it.
Absolutely.
I am.
Well, we just did what one of the most destructive things in the body of Christ is to vote on it, but that's all right. Because,
well, we're all in agreement. We might as well hear the rest of the sermon.
Amen.
You know?
Amen, 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 amen. So here we go. This is part two of the same message. Let me get caught up over here.
The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Give me just a second here. There we go. This is part two.
Good fight of faith. You got to know that when you said it, it has happened.
Righteousness makes it so that I don't need to feel anything, because it gives me a sense of right standing.
Amen.
I don't need to feel anything. And what I took them to last time, I took them to 2 Kings chapter 10. And in 2 Kings chapter 10, the enemy was coming against Hezekiah and the children of Israel. And what happened, Hezekiah sent to Amos, say, hey, give me a word on this. And he gave him a word that says, God's going to fight the battle for you, and so forth and so on. So he came back, they brought the word back to him. He took it and opened it up in the temple, and he shared, read it before the Lord. Now, this is why a lot of people don't pray the word, because they can't feel anything.
Right.
I mean, I got to feel something, man. And then they get done in praying and say, did you feel that? That's what the young people say today. Feel me? Y'all feel me? Say, no, I don't feel you. Okay. Now, I want you to see this. Because you read it before the Lord. And then 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. And read before the Lord. Now, this is what the reply said. And then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto the Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib the Assyrian, I have what? Heard. That's it. Now, how did God hear it? Because he prayed what Isaiah gave him.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right.
Same answer. Amen. Now, how do I know this? 1 John chapter 5, please, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have the petition that we desire of him. Now, how do we know we have it? When we make a petition, how do we know we have it? Because of what? Because he heard us. And how do we know he heard us? We prayed his word. Don't be trying to feel anything, because you can't feel his word. The only thing you can do is say his word.
Release it. Once you release it, you get your faith on what you just said.
Amen.
Say, I release it, and I believe he heard it because he said it.
Amen.
And if he didn't mean it, he shouldn't have put it in his book. So I'm about to act on what I just prayed.
Amen.
So what did Hezekiah and them do? Hezekiah, verse 35 of 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, and he said this. He said, and it came to pass that night. No, I said that night. That the angel of the Lord went out, and he smote in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Who fought the battle? Didn't the preachers say that we can't go in there because they're going to slaughter us or whatever? Well, who's going to fight the battle? God's going to fight the battle. So he's going to give you something bigger than you can do, bigger than you can, your education, bigger than your thoughts, bigger than you ever. That's his way. Because he wants to fight. He wants, the only thing you fight is the good fight of faith. You got to know that when you said it, it has happened. And folks, when it has happened like that, you can go to sleep.
Yes.
Go to sleep, praise God.
Yes.
That's your act of faith.
Yes.
Say, I just prayed for this kid, and I'm going to sleep.
Yes.
Say amen.
Yes.
The devil wants you to stay up all times of night and worry and so forth. He wants you to break your body down and get you on diabetes and whatever. Why? Because your body is not designed to carry that kind of load.
Yes.
You're supposed to pray and go to sleep. I'm talking to someone, talk over here, because there's somebody over here. You've been worried about that money. Pray tonight and go to sleep. Get you a sense of righteousness, and you will reign as a king.
Yes.
A king does not give an order and then sit up in his throne and worry whether his orders are being carried out. You know, if no man will do it, God will have angels to carry that out personally. He will send an angel in the form of a man and go knock on the door of this person and get your knees met. This lady was behind in a rent and everything, and they were going to put her out, and she prayed. She said, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. She prayed, and whatever the amount was, $1,000 or whatever it was, this man came from the upstairs apartment late at night, knocked on the door. She said, who is it? She said, it's your neighbor from upstairs. And he wasn't saved. She said, she opened the door, and he pulled out an envelope and gave her some money. Watch this. This is what he said. Tell your God to leave me alone. And that is a fact. That is a fact. Somebody needs to believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you're going to reign like a king. Now, why am I preaching this? Because we're going to believe this. We're going into a place now that we're going to believe everything in this book. Say amen. And we're not going to try to make it religious. Try to make it something that we can feel, touch, and taste, and so forth. No, we're going to take God at his word. And I guarantee you, when you do that, it's a new place for you. The first thing you're going to say, well, I don't feel the spirit. You feel the spirit. You wait till the manifestation comes. Now, I'm saying the anointing will be present, but I'm saying we've been putting too much emphasis on the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to John chapter 5. Okay, in John chapter 5, verse 3, he came by the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of grace.
And he said, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, how long? 38 years. 38 years. Let me say that again. 38 years. First. When Jesus saw him, he knew that he had been saw him lie. He knew that he had been a long time in that case. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be what? Made whole." The impotent man answered and said to him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said to the man, "Rise, come on, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, and it is not lawful for thee to carry your bed. And he answered and said, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk."
But
now, let's say some stuff here. Are you with me? There is quite a bit of manipulation happening out here in this world system. And with it, Satan is not after the heathen because he's got them. He knows what group can make the change. And it's the church. He's after you. And what he wants to get the church to do is think like the world. That's what he's after. Because he knows you can't transform someplace that you're not transformed from. In other words, unless you think differently, you can't change that place. He's trying to get you to think there. Now, I mentioned Daniel and the forging that we talked about. So this man, Jesus came to him, and he's trying to wake up the man's desire. He said, "Now, do you want to be made whole?" The man began to cry victim. Now, you can't be a victim and victorious at the same time. God said in Joshua 1:5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Does that sound like a victim to you? Now, I'm saying all of this, especially for you black Christians. The day of you crying victim in the church is over.
Amen.
You are victorious.
Amen.
Now, this is for all of us, but it takes BW to preach it.
All right.
Because they came back and said, "We can't take it." Because
right.
We are victims. He's brought us out of here to get us killed and so forth. You are not a victim.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that television will try to make you think you are a victim.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But anybody that's got enough power to go into a neighborhood and shift it is not a victim. Anybody that can feed 5,000 plus women and children is not a victim.
Right.
Anybody
anybody that can stop a storm is not a victim.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, what I did, you can do too. But if you think you're a victim, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing but complain about what the man is doing to me. You need to get off that horse. It won't ride. They told me you cannot have this ball because you are a black man. But what do you think? I knew. I knew the word of God. Every place the sole of my feet to tread upon was mine. And you need to get off of that because it's got your mind tied down like a donkey. They got you on victim drugs and trying to keep you there. You are not a victim. This stuff belongs to you.
Yes, sir.
I said it belongs to you.
Yes,
and it's going to be up to you to take it. Because
yes,
ain't nobody giving you nothing today.
Yes,
you're going to have to use your faith and let God shift that stuff right into your hands. Say amen.
Yes,
I don't care what you think about me when you leave this place. Well, he this, he that. I got them all. Come on. All my debts are paid. My houses are paid. My cars are paid. That ain't no victim. But I have to make up my mind. The man ain't going to tell me who I am. God's going to tell me who I am. I am tired of this mess and the black people being manipulated by the television, and they're trying to tell you who you are. Folks, I don't care. Put up verse 5 again of Joshua chapter 1. Put it up one more time. Here's what he says. There shall be, not shall be, any man be able to stand before you. From the White House to the outhouse. Nobody. Nobody. Billionaire, nowhere. See, nobody. Nobody can stop me. Stop this mess. The ones God was been waiting for. You can't tell me what I can't have. I don't care if you hold it. You still can't tell me what I can't have. My Father owns it. No longer, no longer are you going to be manipulated. You've been manipulated. It's almost like a slave. And soon as one tries to escape, they'll catch him and make an example out of him so the others won't move. I asked God, Lord, what is Chicago's? Ask my wife when I first got here. God spoke to me clearly. He said, it's a big plantation. I need to read you some of the stats of African Americans in this city. How many businesses they got, and I'm looking at the revenue that comes in from their businesses. The total revenue was about $389 billion coming in from the business community. How much do you think that all these black businesses out here, how much do you think of that almost $400 billion coming in is a part from the African American community? Less than 1%. Less don't own nothing. And I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of preachers preaching some mess to have you go back to Egypt and have you dislike him or dislike her. My friend, if you hate, you're out of the race. You are out of the race. You got to love your neighbor, love your enemy.
Hallelujah.
Did I put Luke chapter 17 up there yet?
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses are going to come. Now, it's up to you to receive the offense. Well, I got offended. Well, get your feelings out of the way and get off of that. If you know, can't nobody stop you, why are you getting offended? If you know they can't break you, why are you getting mad at them? Come on now. I'm gonna meet you where you are. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you what the deal is. Because we're going to destroy this plantation. We're getting off of this thing. God, I'm telling you, you sent a man that says, we're the people going to get to the promised land. I'm the one to take you in. And that's my job, and I'm going to take you in. You're going to own some of this. You stop listening to people that are making you mad and angry and all of that. Stop listening to that mess. Go back into the Word of God. They took Daniel, treated him bad, put him in the lion's den. Hated him, put him in there, but could the lions bite him? No, the people that threw him in there got thrown in there themselves. And watch this, Daniel came out, watch this, and changed the law. Come on, God's going to use you to change the law. Redlining laws going to change. Because I ain't scared of no man. I ain't scared of no devil. And I ain't scared of no disease. You can't kill me. You can't stop me. And you can't curse me. Now I'm going to take you in. And I'm telling you, it's our time, folks. I said it's our time. Now, one more place. Turn to Psalm 62. Woo, Lord Jesus. Look at Psalm 62. God has spoken once, twice. Have I heard this? What does Satan fear? He fears power. How does the power come? By faith. How does the faith come? By hearing. By revelation. Hear it once, that's information. Hear it twice, that's revelation.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed, come on, belong to us and to our children. How long? What Satan doesn't want you to have is revelation. What God's got to give you. For you to get him to transfer it, you'll have to have revelation. Genesis, please, chapter 13 and verse 14. You'll have to have revelation. Watch this. Check it out. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, why? Because Lot was all that strife. Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. All the land which you see, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed, how long?
Forever.
And look how he's going to give it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Check this out. This really going to make the devil mad. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know things that we have to pay for from God. Come on, saints. That's what the devil has found out. That you're going to have a revelation that is already yours. Now, somebody said, well, you don't mean I have to pay for it? God may have you pay for it, but he's going to give you the money to do it. Well, I trust that you were blessed by that dynamic message. Praise God. Now, here's a simple, powerful point that you want to remember. You are not a victim. You are an overcomer. Do you realize there are a lot of people making a lot of money on people who say they're victims? A lot of people making a lot of money. You are not a victim. You're an overcomer. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Joshua says that this is what God tells Joshua. He says that. He says, there shall no man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. See, when it's time for us to buy our first shopping mall, That's the scripture I used. That's one of them. The other one was Joshua 1:3. But that's the scripture I used because I had to see myself as an overcomer. How many of us have been programmed in, well, they're victims, well, they don't like you down there, well, you know, those people are prejudiced, so forth. So what? God says, there shall no man be able to stand before me all the days of my life. Do you believe God? Praise God. Then occupy till he comes. Hallelujah. Well, I got a couple of offerings for you. One is this occupy till I come. I've been doing some teaching on it. Now, what we're talking about here is God teaching us how to take the land. He's giving us faith through teaching, through the gospel, as to how to possess your inheritance. What's one of your inheritance? To be debt-free. He wants you debt-free this year. Praise God. Here you go. How about another one? Get out of that sickness. Get out of that sick bed. I mean, get up and start doing things for the kingdom. Well, in here. That's part of your inheritance. Occupy till I come. Another teaching is imitate God and get results. You know, the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. That word there means imitators. It's a Greek word. It means to imitate God. So think about it. If I have God's word in me and speak God's word out of me, I'm imitating God. Praise God. You see, I'm speaking just like God. Imitate God and get results. Fabulous teaching. Well, that's all we have today. This is Bill Winston saying until next time, we love you and keep walking by faith.
Today's series, Occupied.
All right. I just did what I told you to do for the program. Let me see. You got to get everything clicked back into the right order here. Glory, hallelujah. Yeah. Hey, Roger. You did good, brother. And when you're trying to write down verses, listening to Dr. Winston, it's like trying to take a sip out of a fire hydrant. It pretty much doesn't happen very easily. But you did a good job, brother. You really did. Brother Dan, thanks for holding on Blog Talk Radio for us over there. We love you, man. We love you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, let's talk about this. Some of you want to come on and talk. Now, remember, we're going to talk about this message, this subject, and we're going to be focused on what we're dealing with right here. Occupy until he comes. And share a statement that he gave you. What did you write down? Sunday keeps trying to come on because she wants to say something. Let's see. Try one more time, Sunday. Watch this. I'll see if I can get her. Go ahead, Mary. Phyllis?
I just, we are the light of the world. Start letting your light shine. Get out of bed and stop being dark and sick and start being the light of the world and doing what Jesus would do.
Amen.
You want me to keep going?
Well, let's hit that one once. We'll put another punch of that. Think about what he said about that glass. If it's just water, you can shine a light right through it. But if you put mud in there, a little bit of dirt in there, then you're not going to see through it because it muddies up the water. So that's the whole point of when you see yourself as the righteousness of God, as your new identity, then you walk out and be the light of the world. We saw it last night or this morning and yesterday morning in our Read the Word program, where Jesus said, until I leave, I am the light of the world. But we know that in Matthew 5, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So when he left, he is in us, making us the light of the world. Amen, Phyllis. Get out of the darkness. Get out of the sickness, the disease, and let's go there. Now, you don't get out of it in your own strength. You get out of it in faith according to the word, by the blood and righteousness and the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you get up and get going and go do something, and God's blessing comes upon you. Now, I know he was talking to the black people a lot there because of where he lives in Chicago. And that's 90% of his audience, you know, maybe 80%. There's quite a few different nationalities in there. Every one of those statements is about they got you on a big plantation. That don't matter if you're black or white or yellow, green or orange. If you're letting somebody else take care of you and tell you when you get to do what you get to do, how long you're going to work, how much you're going to make, and put all those limits on you, you're on a plantation. It don't matter what color you are. And you got to break free from that by faith in God's word, according to his righteousness and the blood of Jesus in your life. And that's a good word, Phyllis. All right, Mary, you got one?
No, he was a couple things there. He was talking about you have to feel it when you're praying, and I can relate to that because I just can relate to it. I don't know how to explain it, but when you're feeling close to God, it's kind of like you're talking to him, and your prayers are different, and he mentioned just pray the word, and I'm kind of getting a little connection in with that, you know, like some of the scriptures, you know, you pray them the scriptures, and you pray them out loud, thank you, Jesus. You know, God is in your life every day, but you really sometimes have to look for him. But he's there.
He's there.
And I have to say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And when he appears in your life, you're going to get that little, it's kind of like those things, you know, the devil pops his head up here and you got to smack it. And he comes up on the ankle, it's a constant awareness of who you are and yeah. How you're being attacked and how you address the attack. And I'm just very happy with how God has put me in front of these words that you're playing. Like the walk in the woods with your dad. But, oh, my God, that was amazing. It was just kind of like it was a renewing. And the scriptures you put on here, it's uplifting to me. It may not be anybody else, but it's to me. And I say thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you know, I have been fighting the fight and the battle with for you and I as the community of faith. And what God has taught me in that battle is stand in the righteousness of Jesus. So when I go to the battle, just like our opening prayer that we pray every day, it's not just something to say, guys. That is a declaration of faith that the Holy Spirit, by the Father, gave you and I as the community of faith to learn, to develop, to grow into, get it deep in our heart, and learn to speak to the enemy in our own life, or learn to speak to the enemy in somebody else's life in that very process. And I know that you and I say these confessions over and over and over and over again. However, it's because it's what God wants us to say. It's his assignment for us to say. Now watch this. Watch this. I got it up on the screen here. Let me see if I, there we go. Watch this. Pray this right out loud with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests
to God
by the power
of
the
Holy
Spirit
in Jesus'
name. Now, that, right, that portion right there is how every one of us should start every prayer we pray. Whoops. Hello. Back up. That's how you should start every prayer. Every prayer you pray anytime. I make this prayer and declaration as a child, the heir of God. Start your prayer with it. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. As a minister of reconciliation. As an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. As a king and a priest to my God. By the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now you say, sickness, leave. Well, you're standing in the authority of all of those forces. And when you speak to sickness, it's got to go. When you speak to poverty, it has to go. It cannot stay. That's why the Holy Spirit gave us that as an opening prayer so that you and I have the ability to learn something, get it established in our hearts, and get it so deep and established in our hearts that it doesn't matter where we go or who we're praying for, we pray the same prayer. I got to tell you a story about that. Because I had gone to see a friend of mine in the hospital, and he said, I'm dying. It's all over. And I'm just dying. And I said, well, I'm going to come see you. And I'm not joking about this. This was very interesting. I walked into that hospital, and when I walked into his room, he looked at me and said, there's a new sheriff in town. When I walked in his room, he said, just looking at me, there's a new sheriff in town. I said, what do you mean by that, brother? He goes, look at you. You got the power of God all over you. He's a good Catholic man. And I said, yeah? He said, pray for me, preacher. I'll be out of here in a couple days. I prayed over him, and I prayed this prayer right here. This was the beginning of my prayer. And when I was finished, he said, yep, I'll be out. 2 days later, he went home. He went home, and he didn't die, and he's still alive today. Went through COVID two or three times, and he's still alive today. What has to happen? I got to see myself as the righteousness of God. I've got to get alone with God and consecrate my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings, my hurt feelings. I got to consecrate all that to him and say, I'm not holding on to another bit of that another day. Nothing. I want to be a powerhouse for you. And he'll just, God will tell you, you can't be a powerhouse holding on to that weakness. So stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Now, I posted that there in on the Zoom, so you guys have it. I'll post it over here on the YouTube. Let me see if that's enough. Yeah, I can do that. What is that all about? For those of you that want that, I've put it in both of our platforms. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, I can't give it to you that way. But every time we make this confession on air, you're going to hear us say it. Because what is that initiating in your prayer? I am walking in the righteousness of God. Think about what he said there. Let me read this statement. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God comes to you only in the proportion to the revelation you are willing to go after and come to. Your inheritance in the kingdom of God comes only in proportion to the amount of revelation you receive of who you are. You can't get it any other way. You can't cry. You can't cheat. You can't steal. You can't stomp your foot at God. I really do not recommend that you stomp your foot at God, because that's going to get you a whipping, no matter whether or not your mom and dad let you do that, because he's not going to do it. Mary, you got your hand up?
The other day, a couple, 2-3 days ago, you was talking about how we should, I guess, pray. It's in reference to our children who are kind of gone astray and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You said something about how to pray to cast the demons out of them. And then you made the statement that, you know, if we didn't address it to our children, it would be on our back.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you said. It was very impressive, but I honestly don't remember. And I'd kind of like to go back and listen to that again, or have you repeat it or whatever.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Let me grab that verse. Ezekiel.
You know, I have to say, God has really been working in my life lately, and a couple of the testimonies that just warms my heart is I was depressed, and I called my husband, the nursing.
Wow.
Actually cheered me up.
Come on.
And I honestly, he did, and I thought that was so amazing. And then the other day, got some things going on here at my house. People are stealing and all kinds of stuff, and kind of suspect my grandson, who probably on meth. But I saw my two boys talking with each other. And that's amazing right there. My one son that has cancer is so jealous of his other brother, and it was just like, he won't let it go. But they were talking to each other. It was amazing.
Okay, so I want to tell you something about that, Mary. I have been praying for our body of believers that we will begin to see and have visions, have dreams, and give us revelations about our life to help us go in. Now, what you just said is my prayer just came to pass, because you saw them talking to each other. Did you see it in the natural or in the supernatural?
In the natural. They were talking to each other for quite a while.
Glory be to God.
Amen. You got that right. I mean, they were trying to figure out a way to keep trespassers off our property, but it doesn't make any difference. They were speaking to each
Amen.
Other.
Amen. That's an answer to your prayers and our prayers, and that's the power of this healing room right here in the community of faith. That's why God brought you here and said, be connected to this community of faith. You're one of the founding members here, and you just have fought, not very other people, many people have fought, and here we are. And now we're beginning to see these things come to pass right in front of our eyes. Now, let me give you that verse. You ready? Go to this verse with me, and it's in Ezekiel, because I don't want to just give you my words. I could preach it very vehemently and very powerfully, but I don't do anybody any good. good preaching don't do any good if it's just full of zeal and it doesn't have any word. You've got to have the word of God in order to grow and develop and understand. So Ezekiel chapter 3. Now, for those of you that might be like, wow, we already heard two sermons. Now you guys are preaching. How long do you guys go? Until the Holy Spirit says, stop this and go to sleep. How long are we going, fellas?
4 more hours. Roger?
Hallelujah. 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 No, he's not. Robert was Roger was hammering them verses over there. You did awesome, Roger. It's amazing. Here we go. Ezekiel 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat.
I can't find Ezekiel. Where is it?
Ezekiel's back by Daniel and Jeremiah, just after the Song of Solomon and Psalms and Proverbs. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel.
Okay.
Ezekiel 3:1. Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. I opened my mouth. He caused me to eat that scroll. He said to me, son of man, feed your belly, fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. He said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Now, wait, I got to find my verse. I thought it was right there. We'll go down now to verse 18. He ate the scroll, so let's go to 18.
So 18.
When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. His blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Now that's pretty straight up. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning also. You will have delivered your soul. Now, you don't even have to have a Bible college degree to understand what God just said to us in those 5-6 verses. God wants you and I to speak to the people that are lost in our life. When he tells us to speak, speak. And until he tells us to speak, speak their name, their life, their family in prayer every time he brings them to you. That's what we were saying Saturday night. Our duty is to call unto God in prayer daily for, number one, the first disciples you want are your own family. Number two, your community of influence, those around you. Number three, your neighborhood, people that live close to you. And then as he gives you voice, to your city, your county, your state, and then depending on what, how much voice God gives you is how far out you'll go. God is telling Ezekiel, if to speak to us by the Holy Spirit, he's telling us, we've got to speak to the wicked people. And we got to say, do not do that. That is going to take you to hell. I loved all the stories that Dr. Barclay told this week of reaching the sinners who were around him. And he gave those examples, being on an airplane and the guy kind of sneering at his Bible. And he said, it's all right. It's the answer for you not go to hell, but you won't read it, so you're going to hell. And some people say, well, that's mean. What's more mean? Waking the man up or watching him burn in hell? What? And he said, you're probably going to take your wife and kids with you too, aren't you? The man's like, man, don't talk like that. He said, I can show you in this book how you can get out of that. And the man said, well, please do. He begins to talk, and a stewardess comes and stands there, and another one. And she said, the first officer wants to come. And by the time he got to the point of explaining it to pray the prayer of salvation, there was 8 people standing in front of him on an airplane in first class getting born again, including the first officer of the jet. Why? Because he was bold enough to look at him and say, sir, you're going to die in your sin. Now, what happens if they don't receive it? Their blood is not on your hands on the day of eternity. And he said, when it got all done, somebody that sat behind him a bunch of aisles said, hey, I prayed that prayer too. Why? Because he was bold enough to look at the man and said, you're going to hell. Now, remember what I said on Saturday night. It's not obnoxious. It's not belligerent. It's not condemning. It's filled with love and mercy and the word of God that says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. He told the story of walking through a hotel to eat breakfast because they had the best breakfast there in Holiday Inn in Midland, and they really did for a long time. And he said, I walked by a group of men, about 5-6 men standing there talking. And he said that one of them said that Mark Barclay is the biggest cult in the city. And he said, I thought, well, I'll just go to the conversation. Walked up there, stood there. And he's listening to the guy talk, letting him talk, looking who's there. And he said, how do you know what a cult is? And the guy's like, oh my God, it's Mark Barclay. He goes, you can't even spell the word. You're lying to these men. You're sowing discord. And now you're an abomination to God. You better stop, because none of you have ever been in my church and you do not know what goes on there. And according to this conversation right now, you're an abomination to God and you're going to hell. And walked away. Listen to this now. Every one of those men except one wrote him an apology letter. Several of them came to his church. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you in that manner, but that's how bold we got to get in the spirit, in our prayers, binding the demons around our families. You don't have to read these verses every day. Their blood's on my hand. Their blood's on my hand. Oh, my God, their blood's on my hand. Listen, everybody that you were supposed to have reached and you didn't, you better pray for God to bring them to the path of salvation by somebody so that you at least stood in the gap, made up the hedge, and was an intercessor for them to find God, and many of them will be there, and their blood will not be on your hands. By prayer. By prayer. Now watch. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, all the rest of you that had something you wanted to say about tonight, you know how it goes here. Write it down. Send it to me. Bring it back tomorrow. We'll say it again, and we'll just keep growing on this and developing this and being established in it. Because, guys, the time is so short. That's why I sent everybody Amir Sarfati's name in Telegram. You need to follow this man in Telegram. It will sort of freak you out until you remember what your pastor taught you about where the restraining order, and when you see it, then you'll start rebuking it and binding it, because he sends videos of what is actually happening around the world unfiltered by the American news media. And it is alarming what is going on. We're so close to the rapture, you can't even see between the door and it closing of our whole era, our whole generation. It's done. And we've got to help our family and our friends. Now watch this. This is Paul's prayer for the church. I'm going to go Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. This is the verses to pray out loud, speak boldly over every one of your children every day, 4 or 5 times a day. Put it in your phone, on your notepad, put it in a little notebook, stick it in your pocket, put it in an index card, put it in your pockets, carry it with you, set your alarm to begin speaking these verses over your family every single day. Why? Listen to what it says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Everybody on this earth belongs to God. God put you and every one of the 7.5 billion people on this earth today. He put them in their mother's womb to grow when the sperm and egg came together, seed time and harvest. 16. That he, I want you to notice that he is capitalized, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. This is our prayer for all of our family, our children, our grandchildren. It don't make a difference where they go. You begin to pray this prayer and ask God to give them dreams and visions every night from him. They'll turn. They will turn. Just please do not turn me off and have a familiar hearing with me, because you've heard me say it so many times. This thing is working. Mary just gave me a testimony of my prayers for her kids. You just gave me a testimony that my prayers are working for your kids.
Amen. Thank you.
Glory.
What chapter and verse are you reading now?
Do what?
What chapter and verse are you reading?
Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm reading 14 through 21. Everybody write those down. You got to get this on a notepad. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Now watch this. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what you and I want for our children. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. This is what I pray over you guys regularly. This is my prayer for the community of faith. This is what I'm believing God, what is happening in every one of your lives. That's why I say, if what's coming out of your mouth is doubt and unbelief, just stop saying it and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, answer pastor's prayer for me. Because this is what I'm praying for you. Look at verse 18. That they might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. That they would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That they may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's the verse that tells us we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit's not lying when he says that. He's not just joking, teasing. Well, you know, it's not really full, but it's just, it's close. No. He means all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, this is going to happen because we stand in his righteousness. We stand in the blood. We stand as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to our God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, this is what we are. It don't matter what's come to pass and what hasn't. God doesn't fail. That verse that Dr. Winston preached tonight, 1 John 5:4, we know that we have the petition that we ask because we know the character of our Father when he says it, it's going to come to pass. And he told us to say it so that our joy might be full and that his joy would be in us. Glory be to God. That was 1 John 5:4 was what that reference was. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, Mary got me fired up and got me preaching again, but that's okay. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. It's all right.
You're welcome.
And Phyllis added into it with, you're the light of the world. Now let's talk about our families. Serious about this. I'm serious. Well, let's go to our next verse, and then we'll be done. And I'm going to read this verse twice to us tonight. Please write this verse, these verses down, and get the revelation of these verses. I beg of you. I implore you. As a pastor, I'll use all of my commanding you. I don't know how much that does, but I command you. I command you write these verses down. These verses will change your life and your family's life. And I've been on them now for about 2 weeks. And if you don't already have it written down on a paper, I might have to come and give you a special schooling yourself. Here we go. Job 33:14-18. You want to pray these verses over your children. Job 33:14. I'll slow down a little bit. That way you got the ability to turn there because you got to see it in your Bible. If you're one of those that says, Pastor, I have a hard time finding things in my Bible, then begin to ask God to anoint you to be able to find the books of the Bible and move through your Bible quickly. It will become easier and easier if when I preach, you cause yourself to open your own Bible and go through the pages because it won't be long and it'll just be second nature to you to find it. You'll be able to find it faster than you can find it on your app because you've been searching. Job 33:14. Now listen to this revelation. God may speak in one way or another, and man not perceive it. That means you heard somebody speak the word, but you didn't get the revelation of it. Okay, that's what God said. This is the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking through Elihu, even though Elihu said some stuff that was messed up. This one isn't. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens the ears of men, seals their instruction in their heart in order to turn them from his deeds, his evil deeds, and conceal pride from man and keep back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword, by the word of God. Job 33:14-18. I want you to begin to pray Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and Job chapter 4, chapter 33, 14 through 18. I want you to put those two scriptures, and I want you to begin to speak them over your family. How do I do it? Well, in Ephesians 3, just read it. Just read it right out of the Bible. In Job 33, read it right out of the Bible. But I've condensed Job 33 to this statement as I pray. I pray this for every one of you every night. Those of you that I don't know your name, you're called my partner. And you are under my prayer that this happens in your life. Have you ever been around the kingdom and said, I just don't understand what they're saying? They are experiencing it, but I'm not, and I want it. Well, here's your answer. In a dream, in a night vision, Father, while my family, my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my partners, those to be connected with us in the future, while they're slumbering on their beds, open the ears of men, seal their instruction for their lives and their heart. Turn them from the pit. Turn them so they will not perish and go to hell. Now, what's going to happen? God's going to give them a dream, a vision. But what the church has said for years is, smack them up against the wall, Jesus. Break their leg or their arm, Jesus. Teach them a really good, strong lesson, Jesus. Shake them over the pit of hell, Jesus. Well, that's condemning, that's belligerent, that's mean. And not most of all, that's not God. And neither are you or me. You don't know what the dream will be that God will give them that will turn them immediately to the king, to the kingdom. Pray it over their spouses, pray it over their kids, pray it over the people that works with them where they work, so that God has someone standing in the gap, making up the hedge for your family, so their blood will not be on your life. That's Job 33, verses 14 through 18. Now, you might say, do you have another reference? Oh, you know me. I've always got about 10 more references. Joel chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'm not going to read it, but write it down. Joel, oh, come on, Sam, you know where Joel is. Joel chapter 2, that's it, I'm putting a marker there. Joel chapter 2, and it's the whole chapter. Verses 12 through 32. Joel 2, 12 through 32. And then when you get down there, you'll realize this is the prophecy of Joel where the Holy Spirit, by prophet Joel, prophesied that he was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Well, they might not be in a place to prophesy right now. But that's where God sees him. On my men servants and my maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days. Your young men will see dreams and your old men will see visions. And it's going to be on the men and the women. And in those verses prior to that, he said, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, and my people will never be put to shame. Now watch this. Remind me of your son's name that's got the cancer, Mary.
Clay.
Clay. Well, I was close. Father, we speak over Clay right now. Give him dreams. and visions in the night that takes everything that's in him, puts it in technicolor vision, so he sees you, he sees eternity, and he sees himself. Clay, the community of faith calls you healed in Jesus' mighty name. God is going to restore the years the locust has eaten, and you will love and care for your mother and be a blessing to her. I declare this as a man of God. I declare this as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. I declare it as a minister of reconciliation. I am standing in the gap. Cause you to receive reconciliation with your Father. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, and I come to you today in your dream and your vision, and by as a king and a priest to the God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray every bit of this. Turn from your ways so that all of us have a wide open testimony to see the blessing of God in all of our children's life. Hey, Sunday, I'm going to have to listen to this again. This is really good. This is really good. I can guarantee you this don't have nothing to do with Sam. This is all flowing right through the... I'm a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking loud and clear to all of us right now. Guys, the time is too late. Quit. I don't got nobody in my mind, so everybody just relax a bit. Quit fooling around with anything that isn't the intensity and the determination and the grit and the drive. I will see everyone who knows me find God before I go in the rapture. Here's the thing. If you've spoken it to him once, lovingly, caringly, sent one of our videos, even if they miss the rapture, their blood won't be on your hands, and they will know, hold it, those people just said that to me, and I'm going to check and see, and they're going to text you, and they're going to say, nope, he's not answering. Uh-oh. I'll call him again in a few minutes. And then they're going to say, whoa, not only is he gone, that guy's gone, and that preacher's gone, and that guy's gone. I missed the rapture. And they're going to do everything they can do to find everything you said and turn it on, play it before Facebook or YouTube or any of them remove it from their website. And you are going to be speaking to them. If they miss the rapture, you'll be speaking to them after the rapture happens and will be a force of life in their life. But if you don't ever say it to them, they'll never know you were one that understood it.
You know, while you're speaking all this, these fiery darts are coming into my head saying things like, you're not perfect yourself. That's your own fault. How can you be praying for these other people when you're not perfect yourself? But I'm never going to be perfect. And
what you have to do with that fiery dart is say, shut up, you stupid foul devil. Didn't you just hear what Dr. Winston preached for the last hour? You are perfect in God.
I have a few faults.
Now, wait. He didn't say you're not going to stub your toe. He said you are perfect because of Jesus' righteousness. When the enemy comes, you got to learn, God speaks from the inside here. The devil speaks in your brain here. God's not going to minister to you through your brain. He's going to minister to you through your spirit, your innermost being. So most of what you get in your brain is straight out of the pit of hell. Tell him to shut up. Tell him to shut up.
I had some thoughts the other day that came into my mind.
Yep.
And they were like godly thoughts. So I just moved on them.
Sure.
And hopefully I have a good prospect for somebody to purchase the restaurant, okay?
Yep.
So they went, they looked at it, it worked, seemed to be good and everything, but then these little fiery darts come to me that want me to get discouraged and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I had to go back into my post and read that prayer out loud where we trust in God and he's working behind the scenes.
Yep.
In our behalf, and you have to read it out loud and stay positive and don't let this negative stuff get to me.
And that's
coming at you.
And that's why I gave you that prayer right there. Because anytime they come, you can just say this right here. I am a child of God. I am an heir of God. I am the body of Christ filled with the fullness. Because see, as soon as you answer that fiery dart with the word of God, the enemy can't do anything with it. It has to go away. As he preached so strongly in that last message, Joshua 1, 3, and 5. No man shall be able to stand before me all the days of my life. I am not the tail, I'm the head. I'm not beneath, I am above. And Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He would not have said it if you can't be it. He wouldn't have said that. That would make him a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. That statement, when it comes to you, is from the devil. Rebuke it and curse it. I am perfect. Jesus made me perfect. And I'm becoming more and more like him every single day. But see, we've been so indoctrinated by the preachers of our day. Nobody's perfect and nobody will ever be perfect. You're right. They're a sinner and they want to keep sinning. That's why they say that. Are you kidding me? I want the mind of Christ. I have it. I want the righteousness of Jesus. I have it. I don't have to sin. I'm not going to. I'm not going to sin. Didn't you read what Ezekiel said? It do not sin when you're the righteous. Don't do it.
You don't even want to.
You don't even want to. So I encourage you, Mary, every time those thoughts come, you say, you listen to me. You listen to the word of God. Jesus said, I am perfect like my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
I don't have prayer language yet.
Well, you got to seek for it.
My good Lord, Friday, how much harder can I seek than what I have my whole 76 years of life?
Well, here's how.
Good Lord knows I've been seeking.
Right. But what there is a religious indoctrination in the way. I don't know what it is. I mean, if I pray long enough and he decides to show me, then he'll show me. There's a religious indoctrination in the way of it. And don't be condemned. If there's ever been anybody that's fought a religious indoctrination, it's me. You guys have met me after I fought through a serious level of religious indoctrination. Serious level. And won. And the way I won, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was 18 years old. It was when I was 24, 88. 1881, 7 years later. 7 years later, I sought the Lord for 7 years. I want that. I began to see it. I found it in the Bible. I began to say, Lord, help me get it. I wrote that letter to Jerry and said, what about it? The Amway guy. And he's like, read your Bible. Well, then I actually read the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit told me, you stay on these verses and you stay on these verses. And you stay on these verses until the revelation gets down in your heart, that religious indoctrination gets out of your way, and it'll automatically happen. And I just kept seeking it. I just said, you said it. In your word, you are more willing to baptize me with the Holy Spirit than I was to ask. I receive it. What's in the way? I will not believe that doctrine anymore. I will not believe that doctrine anymore. I will not believe that doctrine anymore. It'll come to you slowly. And then it's your accountability and your stewardship to get those doctrines out of your life and never speak them out of your mouth another day. And then, all of a sudden, I was at work. I was at work rolling the fiberglass, the air out of the fiberglass, and said, Father, I just love you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm born again. Holy Spirit. I didn't even finish my prayer, and I started praying in the Holy Ghost. It was like somebody dumped hot oil and hot water right over the top of my head. Out of my belly flowed a river of living water. Why? Because I was diligently faithful to just keep reading those verses and say, God said it. He's a liar if he doesn't do it. I'll never call God a liar. So that means this word is coming to pass in my life, and I declare it comes to pass right now. And I will not be hindered by another religious spirit keeping me from entering into what God has for me. It's going to come.
I personally believe in the prayer language, but I have witnessed a few people when I asked about it, kind of like poke fun at it.
Because they don't have it.
Pardon me?
They don't have it. So they're going to mock it. And because they mock it, they'll never get it.
I mean, it's like you want to speak in your prayer language, just, you know, and it does this start rattling off stuff. And it's like you can sense that that's not really a prayer language, that they're kind of poking fun at it.
Yep.
And it's like trying to take it seriousness away from it.
Yep.
I did not appreciate that.
Yep.
There's, I don't know.
There's whole groups of mockers like that, Mary, that do their best to bring down whole churches that believe in praying in the Holy Spirit. And they are reserving for themselves judgment and damnation in the pits of hell because they're mocking the Holy Spirit. And according to Jesus, that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the one to make the judgment if they have, but when you begin to mock the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. It truly is what happens. And every bit of what we ever teach right here is use diligence to enter into the place that God has told you to enter in and let nobody and no demon from hell, no religious person, no pastor, no preacher, no prophet, nobody with a big title and a bunch of degrees tell you that you're not going to be perfect. And that you're not going to be righteous and that the Holy Spirit won't fill you and baptize you and you will come out praying in your heavenly language. Don't let anybody. And if they're going to keep doing it, you got to get away from them. That's just how it is. I got away from the group of religious people who were my closest friends and associates who were going to mock the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today I have it. Today they don't.
I don't have it yet, but that don't mean someday I will.
Right. Say this with me. I am filled with the Holy Spirit.
Pardon me?
Just say it. I am filled with the Holy Spirit.
I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I've no doubt in my mind. It just doesn't come out in my language.
Okay. So how do you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit?
Because you feel it. You just know there's something inside of you greater than yourself.
Yeah. That night I laid hands on you in Mike and Shannon's house, you were praying in tongues.
I was.
Yep.
I didn't hear me.
You were out in the Holy Ghost.
Well, I didn't hear me, but...
So let's fix it. Because this is the same battle that every one of us face in any part of our life.
Well, why isn't Mike and Shannon with us anymore?
Then why isn't what?
Why isn't Mike and Shannon with us anymore?
Well, who knows? You can't answer that, and neither can I. That's a question that there ain't no sense asking. Because until they say it out of their mouth, you don't know. But it don't matter. God bless them. Help them.
Amen.
Strengthen them. May they go do great things in God.
Amen.
We bless them. They're still a part of who we are.
Amen.
Because their lives are transformed here. But watch this. Here's what ends up happening. And every single one of us will deal with this. We want item A. And it doesn't come. And we begin to make this declaration. I want that, but I just don't have it. Stop saying it. Just keep saying, I have my heavenly prayer language. I am filled with the Spirit. I have my heavenly prayer language. Just say it all day long. Every time you think about it, if the fiery dart comes, you go into the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and say, I have it. I do too. I'm filled with the Spirit. I have it. And then just start speaking the words. I'm going to teach you. There's going to come a day when you're going to say that, and it'll just roll out of you. You're just stuck. When you went out in the Spirit that night, God was baptizing you with his Holy Spirit. I saw it with my own eyes, with my own hand laid on your head. Somebody shout glory. I thought we'd hear angels singing on that. Oh, Mary, I so appreciate your questions. I'm serious. Serious. Because we've now had 8 different sermons in one night.
Kind of threw you off track, though, didn't I?
No, this ain't off track at all. This is exactly what God's doing. Guys, our day, the day is so short. We cannot.
Am I wrong in saying that I am filled with the Holy Ghost because I feel it inside me?
No.
Is there anything?
No, you say feel it, but it's really the better word is I experience him inside of me. It's not a feeling. It's an experience.
It's just that you know he's in there guiding you.
Yeah.
Just know.
No, and start saying it. And I have my heavenly prayer language. If you don't speak to the mountain to be removed, then the mountain stays. Don't say I don't have it. Say I do have it. See, that's where a lot of Christians are like, wait a minute. Now, if I say that, I'm lying. No, you're not lying. You're speaking your faith, and that's what makes the things move in God. The whole kingdom operates by faith. The whole kingdom.
Okay. It's amazing how God is working in my life.
Amen.
It's just the messages that I hear. There is someone that I know that has posted about, oh, they want you to go, they share a program, they want you to listen to it, and it's about end times. Do all ministers preach the same thing about end times?
No.
They preach different things?
No, the majority.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. There's so many different opinions, but what we do here is not opinions. We go to the scripture, praise the Lord. That's it, honey. If you just read the Bible, I love the majestic word of God. Furthermore, if you ask God for the understanding to help you understand his word, that is perfect. That is so perfect because he gives you complete understanding.
Amen.
Even when you're asleep at night, you'll dream about what
Amen.
He wants you to know.
Amen. Really. Preach it, sister.
I need to hear those dreams, Lord. I need to hear those dreams.
Now,
Mary,
let me just tell you. I've been for 3 weeks praying for everybody in this ministry. And for all of you that I know by name, I pray for you by name. Okay? I am praying for God to give you a dream in the middle of the night or 2 or 3 or 6. Sends you right past this. I heard a man named Lou Engle say, lady walked up to him and said, Lou, pray for me. I don't have dreams and I don't speak in tongues, and I just want to, I want both of them to happen in my life. So he said, I laid my hands on her, said a really long philosophical prayer. Father, give her dreams and help her speak in tongues. Amen. That's all he said. She came back to him a week later and said, he said, how you doing? She said, I had a dream. I was speaking in tongues and woke up speaking in tongues. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I've been flowing in my heavenly prayer language. No, wait. Is that going to happen to you? I don't have any idea what's going to happen to you, but I'm telling you right now, most nights I pray till about 2:30 in the morning for all y'all to have dreams. So stop saying I don't remember my dreams and start saying I dream by Acts chapter 2, and I remember them because I'm praying for every one of you to have the dreams of God. Because when you get one that's from God, it sets you on fire with the things of God.
How come I used to have dream visions and I don't have them anymore?
Words of your mouth.
Words of my mouth.
Yep.
Good Lord Friday.
Yep. That's what that's the answer to almost all of these questions is the words of our mouth.
You know,
look, I want to show it to you. This is 800 years before Jesus. Watch this. 800 years before Jesus was born, Joel said, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. The language of the Holy Spirit is prophecy, dreams, and visions. So the only thing that can stop this word from coming to pass is our words speaking something besides this word. Look at verse 29. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's 800 years before Jesus, 850 years before Pentecost. Or 833 years and 6 months, whatever it is. So it is impossible for dreams to stop unless you and I stop them with the words of our mouth. But see, that's the challenge in every part of our life is keep our mouth right according to the word of God. Now, wait, that's not your challenge. It's not just your challenge. That's my challenge. That's everybody on the face of the earth is we got to look at ourselves every day and say, I will never make that statement again. Not another day. Not another day. For a while, Sister Leanne and I were saying, I just am not seeing what God's saying. Guess what? We didn't see it because we spoke it out of our mouth. And one day I'm like, Father, help me. He goes, well, listen to your words. I'm like, uh-oh. So immediately, as soon as he said, listen to your words, it hit my spirit. My sheep hear my voice. So that's my statement every day. And guess what? Revelation is flowing freely. It's flowing freely. Flowing freely. Flowing freely. Got my words right. It's not a condemnation thing. There ain't a person here that can be condemned by what I just said because there ain't a one of us that are not going to have to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, get your words right with God. Even our words over our kids. I don't know anything of what y'all said, but to say over your kids, he's so rebellious, he's going to go to hell. Guess what you just did as mom or dad? You just prophesied.
Oh, good Lord, Father.
Don't say that anymore. Say, the eyes of your understanding are flooded with enlightenment, and you will know your place in God. Father, give them a dream and a vision and show them their path. In technicolor vision. And he will. He's longing for someone stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that he can get inside their life. If the Father says, bind this spirit, bind it. Father says, you know, pray for them to forgive, then pray. Because he's going to lead you from in here. And while you're praying, you're going to just know the right words to say, and you'll realize that's the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking inside of me, and he's leading me in exactly what to say. And I declare that every one of us are going to get every one of our family members saved between now and the rapture, and there will be nothing that will be able to keep it from happening because we're walking with God. We're standing in the gap. We're doing our part in their life, and we'll be the prayer warriors for them in Jesus' mighty name. Now, it's time to receive our communion elements. Now, Brother Roger, we didn't get four more hours, but we did get an extra hour. So keep standing in faith, brother. Now, here's what I want to tell everybody. When we're finished tonight, I'm going to go into this YouTube video, and I'm going to put in timestamps for each of these different subjects that happened so that you'll be able to go back to this lesson and click on that timestamp and go right to the beginning of where it's at. I'll do it for Dr. Winston's two messages. I'll do it for this, what we said. I'll do it for Mary's questions. So there'll probably be about 8 or 10 timestamps in there. Timestamps is a 4 or 6-digit number that's highlighted blue. When you open up your phone, your tablet, your computer, when you click on it, it'll take you to the exact spot in the message where you can find that message preached. And I'll put them in there. I'll do that tonight as soon as we're done. Well, as soon as we're done with Read the Word. And make it so you can go back and listen to this video and hear the specific parts of it that you want to hear again. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I wish Dr. Barclay would have had a YouTube video with a timestamp in it when I was first coming into the kingdom, because I listened to whole cassette tapes over and over and over and over and over and over. I've listened to some of his messages 100 times. Why? I was that far indoctrinated in religion. I had to hear what this man of God said. He was my pastor. I received him as my pastor, and he transformed my life from bound and confused into a victorious, mighty warrior for God that can sit here today. And the Holy Spirit flowed through me in a manner that I only ever just dreamed was even possible. But it came because I just found that video and I just stayed at it. Now, I'm going to do another video. I'm going to make a video. I finally learned how to do this, where you can actually see on the screen how to use your YouTube channel and find the messages that you listen to. Because once you listen to it once, it will be in your history. And as long as you don't delete it from your history, you will always be able to go back to the history in your YouTube channel and find it again. And then that makes these messages that you hear and you say, that's powerful. Then write it on your calendar on the wall and say, Pastor, YouTube, put the title. And of course, it's on the date when it happened. So from that day forward, if you ever lose it, you'll be able to go back to the calendar on the wall and say, oh, it's YouTube on October 24th. You'll go to YouTube, go to the search panel, click my name, Samuel J. Cottle, and then search tonight's title. Tonight's title is Occupy Until He Comes, Faith Against Giants by Jesus Righteousness. You put Occupy Till He Comes in today's date, and that video will pop up automatically on the top 2 or 3 videos that's there. You can put out every video we have ever preached, and it'll come up, and you'll be able to find it. Even if you don't have anything but the date, you'll be able to find it. And I'm going to make another one of those. I'm going to make a YouTube video that shows you how to use it and how to effectively use it, because it's such a powerful tool. And every time you click on those timestamps, it gives us 2 clicks in the numbers, and it makes our channel that much more viable and gets us in higher searches where we reach more people. I don't know if you've seen it, but our membership, our subscription membership is up to 124 now. Welcome. We love all y'all. Thank God for you. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's pray. I want everybody to pray this with me right now. You just pray it right out loud. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. You love me as your child.
Thank you. You love me as your child.
That I am an heir of God.
That I am an heir of God.
And a joint heir with Jesus.
And a joint heir with Jesus.
Everything he has, I have.
He has, I have.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To reach everyone around me.
To reach everyone around me.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen.
Do you have any special videos on end times that you have done?
Yeah, we've got four or five of them.
So you go on YouTube and search for them, you find them that way?
Yeah, we'd have to know the title. But I can dig some up and make sure you get them.
I'd like to share my niece that she must be searching because she's looking at those videos. And I just kind of like to share something that, you know, we have with her.
Well, and here's the thing. I not only have mine, which I want you to share. Please share them because we want her to get connected here. But I have a couple from Dr. Sutton and from Charles Capps and Dr. Barkley, all of them very solid in end times teachings, very biblically based end times teaching. And let me say it differently. The last time I looked, I had those. We'll see if they're still available. But I have those. I know all my videos are still online and are available. And just if I don't get it to you in another day, Mary, make sure you remind me. I don't do good at taking notes during the program. And then as soon as it's done, we get smoking on life as it has to happen. But I want to get that to you. So make sure you remind me if you don't see it in another day. Okay.
So I just find them on where are you going
to? They'll be on YouTube. I'll send you links.
Okay.
It'll be in your messenger or you know, email or text. I'll send it like that. That way it's something you can just forward on.
Community. Okay, that I can forward. Great. Yep. I like that.
All right.
And did you stop taking PayPal?
I don't have that finished yet. So it is still there.
Okay. I tried to close my account and then I got this little thing that's like, oh, we're going to send you an invoice for $600 and yada, yada, yada. And I did not panic because my debit card only goes for $500. So.
Did they say why?
Pardon me?
Did they say why? Well, wait. Yeah. We've got to receive communion so people can go to sleep. So let's get that done. And then if you want to stay and talk about it, I'll be glad to talk about it at the end. But I know it's time to move on to communion so that we got some folks like, wow, we went a long time. Thank you, Pastor, for it. But can we please have communion? I can hear it in the realm of the spirit. So here we go. Luke 22. And we're going to read these verses out of Luke again so that we can hear the heart of Jesus about having communion with the disciples. Verse 14, Luke 22, 14 through 23. Luke 22, 14 through 33. 23. When the hour had come, he, Jesus, sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, let's say this together. You pray it in your heart, however you want to. I'll pray it here. Father, in the name of Jesus, with fervent desire, I want to receive this communion with you.
I want to receive this communion.
My heart longs to be one with you.
My heart longs to be one with you.
Every single day.
Every single day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Verse 16, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he gave him the cup and said, divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. 19. And he took bread. Hold on, I'm getting my bread. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 5, 4, 3, 2. Read the whole book. It's a good one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, is perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. He gives us his love so we can be bold. How? Because as he is sitting on that throne, in heaven, so are we in this world. If he didn't mean it, he wouldn't have said it, because the Holy Spirit doesn't lie when he's inspiring the Bible to be written. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Fear, you have to go. Trauma, torment, go from their lives. Leave every listener alone. And may they come back filled with joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion elements. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. That's the answer to coming to communion and always being ready to receive it. When the church told you, if you've